Hey friends, thanks so much for joining us today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. We're so glad to have you with us. And today, Rick continues in his series called Transform. Together, we'll dive into God's Word and discover powerful principles that can truly change our lives from the inside out. Spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally, financially, and vocationally. You'll experience how God's truth brings real transformation to every part of your life. I'm so excited to hear what Rick has to say today in part two of a message called From Stressed to Blessed.
Now, what am I supposed to do on my Sabbath? Three things. Write these down. Here's three things you're supposed to do on your Sabbath. Number one, rest my body. You need to rest your body. Physically rest. There's a biblical basis for a good Sunday afternoon nap right there. Okay. Number two, just not when I'm speaking. Number two, refocus my spirit. I rest my body on the Sabbath, and I refocus my spirit. And what is that? That's worship. It's what you're doing right now. You are refocusing your spirit right now by coming to worship. And in corporate worship, we recharge and refresh our spirit. And number three, I am to recharge my emotions. Use the Sabbath to recharge your emotions. That's what recreation does. It recharges your emotions. Now, different things recharge different people. And we'll talk about that in just a minute, about how you need beauty in your life, but you need to do something that restores you and re-energize. It could be a hobby. It could be a sport. These are good things that God has given to us as gifts in order to recharge your emotions. You know, it doesn't really matter which day is your Sabbath. In fact, the book of Colossians in the Bible says, doesn't matter which day you choose, you just need to choose a day. My Sabbath is not Sunday. Sunday's a work day for me. By the way, so is Saturday. My Sabbath is Monday. And on Monday, I rest and I refocus and I recharge. And I don't do any work on Monday. That's my Sabbath. And by the way, don't call it your day off, because if it's your day off, you'll cheat on it. And you'll say, I got all these things I need to do, I'll do this. But if it's your Sabbath, then you use it for what God intended. You say, but I feel guilty when I relax. Well, Jesus didn't. When you study Jesus' ministry, he often took time off to relax. In fact, he'd go out and do an entire period of intensive ministry, and then he'd say, guys, we need to come apart for a while. We're going off to the mountains. We're going off the desert. We got to come apart. And I always say, if you don't come apart, you're going to come apart. And he said, yeah, let's go off to the desert. He goes, out there where there's these springs and those date palms, palms and springs and palm springs. There's a biblical basis for going to Palm Springs right there, okay? He says, go out to the desert and we're going to go relax for a while. I'm sure they didn't have a jacuzzi to sit in, but it would have been nice. But Jesus didn't feel guilty about it. Did you know that during the French Revolution, the French government canceled the Sabbath and said every day is going to be a work day? And after a couple years, they had to reinstate it because the health of the nation had crumbled. You need this in your life. You need a Sabbath. I heard about a guy who said to his pastor, he said, Pastor, I tried to get a hold of you all day on Monday. And the pastor said, well, I'm sorry, it's my day off. And the man said, well, the devil never takes a day off. And he said, yeah, and if I didn't, I'd be just like the devil. And some of you, that's why you're so mean. You're not getting enough sleep. You're not getting enough rest. And you're a little devil because you're not taking the Sabbath. And the devil's not your model. Okay, number three. I look to God to meet all my needs. The Lord is my shepherd. I obey God's instructions about rest. He makes me lie down. And then number three. I recharge my soul with beauty. That's the third thing you need to do. Recharge my soul with beauty. Beauty is an incredibly important thing in stress management. Ugliness stresses you out. Beauty inspires. Beauty encourages. Beauty motivates. Beauty stirs up positive emotions. Have you ever thought about why God made the world so beautiful? I mean, you look at sunrises and sunsets of beautiful flowers that are never even seen. And all of these sights around the world that many people well, human eyes won't see, but God created a world of beauty. He could have made Earth just like the moon, just a moonscape, or like Tatooine. For those of you who don't know Star Wars, that's the desert planet that Luke was from. Skywalker. And he wanted to get off that planet really quick because it was pretty ugly. Anybody want, should I go on about the gospel according to Star Wars? Yeah. He could have made it just a desolate, dusty, gray planet. No, no, God created a planet with vibrant colors. Have you ever heard anybody say, I heard it the other day when I was on, actually last summer, I was on vacation up in Yosemite. We were under some redwood trees and a man said to me, I feel so close to God in nature. Well, of course you do. He created it. Man was made to live in a garden, not in a skyscraper. When God created man, he put him in the Garden of Eden. He didn't put him in a skyscraper. You weren't made to live in everything concrete. God made us to live in a garden, in a beautiful place. Did any of you remember Woodstock? You're really old if you just raise your hand. Okay. Really, really old, okay? It was this rock concert many, many years ago. Joni Mitchell wrote a song about it called Woodstock, and it says, well, I came upon a child of God. He was walking along the road, and I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going up to Yasgur's farm for this rock and roll band. And there's a line in the chorus that says this, we are stardust, we are golden, and we're caught in the devil's bargain, and we've got to get back to the garden. And it's a capital G. She's talking about the Garden of Eden. We've come a long way from the Garden of Eden on this planet. People say, I feel close to God in nature. Of course you do. It's God's beauty, and beauty inspires, and beauty motivates. Notice the next verse, Psalm 23, verse 2 and 3. He makes me lie down, but where does he make me lie down? He makes me lie down in lush green meadows. Golf course. And leads me beside calm, quiet waters by the sand trap. He restores my soul. Okay, he restores my soul. Now, it's no wonder Psalm 23 is the most beloved psalm because we can all visualize this one. When I say, think about lush green meadows and a calm, quiet lake, you relax just thinking about it. Okay? If I say, think about downtown LA, you get stressed out. If I say, think about meadows and calm waters and babbling brooks, nature refreshes because beauty inspires. Now, you need beautiful scenes. You need to see beautiful scenes, and you need to hear beautiful sounds in order to keep the stress down in your life. You need to add beauty into your life. Let me give you some suggestions. Write these down. Number one, get outside every day. If you're not getting outside every day, your stress level is going up. Even if it's just your backyard, even if it's just walk around the block, even if it's take your lunch outside, walk outside of the office, and sit outside and look up at a tree while you eat your sandwich. You need to get in touch with God's creation. You need to surround yourself with beauty. Get outside. Let me give you a second suggestion. Start the day with God, not the media. Before you read any text message, before you check your email, before you turn on the radio to some talk radio, people screaming at each other, before you turn on the television for some morning show, you need to get in touch with God first. The first 7 minutes of your day set your mood every day. So do you want to start it with an alarm clock and then the worst news of the day coming at you? No. You don't really need to know all the bad news first thing when you get up. You don't need to know that. You need to turn on some praise music, some worship music. You need to get in touch with God. You need to let the first 5-10 minutes of your day be with the Lord. And that'll dramatically reduce your stress and improve your mood. Another suggestion, number three, intentionally put beauty around you. Whether it's pieces of art or music that inspires you or something, a craft, something that you know, I used to collect seashells and I collected them from all over the world. And I did it, and I had my library filled with them because looking at those things simply inspired me. I go, wow, the intricacy of that nautilus, how God inspired that. Looking at beauty lowers your stress level. Listening to beauty lowers your stress level. So I highly recommend that you either take up an instrument or some kind of art or craft to create beauty. You are most like your creator when you're being creative. And so you need art in your life. You need beauty in your life. You know, by the way, art and music are two of the greatest arguments against evolution. Why? Because they're totally unnecessary for human survival. And if the whole survival of the fittest really works, then why in the world do we have music and art in the world? Because you're more than a body. And God made you for worship. Did you know more songs have been written about Jesus than any other subject in human history? Did you know more books have been written about Jesus than in any other subject in human history? Do you know that more art has been created about the Bible and to honor and glorify God and Jesus than any other subject in history? Why? God gave us music and God gave us art for one reason, to express emotion. That's the only purpose of it. You don't need it for physical survival, but you do need it to really live, to be who God made you to be. So fill your life with art and fill your life with music. You know, when I get stressed out, I go home, I pick up a guitar, I start playing a guitar. I sit on the piano, bang on the piano. A ukulele, doesn't matter. Kazoo, you know, whatever. Just combing paper. It's like last week, you said, make a joyful noise. It doesn't have to be pretty, just make a joyful noise. Philippians 4:8 says this, you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things that are true and noble and reputable and authentic and compelling and gracious. It sounds like television, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. That is not television. You'll do best by filling your mind with things that are true and noble and authentic, compelling, gracious. The best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Now, because of sin, there's a lot of ugliness in the world. There are a lot of unpleasant things in the world. Whatever you give your attention to is going to either raise or lower your stress. Some of you, during 50 days transformation, you need to do a fast on the news. I hate to tell you this, but you could miss the news for the next 50 days and it's going to make one difference in the world. If you read the newspaper one day later, you'd realize how much news really isn't news. The media is tuned to make you think stuff's important that isn't that important. Has no bearing on your life. And if you used all the time that you spend listening to news or watching news or reading news, and instead spent that listening to God, reading his word, listening to worship songs, your stress would be dramatically lower. It's your choice. Now, if you want to stay stressed out, keep watching local news, because if it bleeds, it leads on the local news. In other words, if there's a crime that happened anywhere within distance, it's going to be reported on the news. Is that really what you want to hear? Is that what you really need? Is that going to make you a better woman, a better man? No. So I recharge my soul with beauty. He makes me lay down in green meadows and calm waters, beside calm waters. Number four, the fourth thing we have is go to God for guidance. Go to God for guidance. Now, this is important because a common source of stress in your life is indecision. You can't make up your mind. Some of you right now are wavering. You're at the fork in the road. Or maybe you've got multiple options and you just can't decide and the stress is killing you. You can't decide whether to get in or get out or do neither. You got too many choices. I recommend that you make God the number one source for guidance. Not the opinions of your friends, not some pundit on television. but that you go to God for guidance, because he always tells you the truth. So what I do, I say, God, I need wisdom. And in James chapter 1, it says this, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and doesn't condemn them or criticize them. He gives it generously and graciously. God is waiting to give you wisdom. You just have to ask. So you say, God, I need wisdom. And I pray and I ask. Then I read the Bible. I read this book. And then I wait and I think and I be quiet. And I listen and I sense. And at the right time, maybe not immediately, at the right time, God will put that idea in my mind. And he'll go, wow, that's an inspiration. That's what I need to do. I want you to write this down. Write this affirmation down. It's an affirmation. God will guide me at the right time. God will guide me at the right time. Not at the wrong time, and his timing is perfect. He's never early, he's never late. If you have to make a decision about next year, he's not going to give you the answer today, because he wants you to trust him. The Bible says, there's enough trouble in each day, take one day at a time. So God's going to give you the right decision and the right guidance if you'll trust him, but he'll do it at the right time. Psalm 23, verse 3 says this, he guides me in the right paths for his name's sake. That's an affirmation. God, I believe you're going to guide me at the right time in the right way. I believe you're going to do that. And if you have that belief, he's going to do it. Number five, I trust God in the dark valleys. I trust God in the dark valleys. Now, we're all going to go through dark valleys in our lives. You'll go through many of them in your lifetime. One of the fifth common sources of stress is loss. And you can lose your job, and you could lose your income, and you can lose your money, you could lose your health, you could lose your reputation, you could lose a loved one. We all go through many losses in life. And when you go through loss, there are always two common reactions. One is fear, and the other is grief. Now, grief is good, fear is bad. When we did a series of seven messages on grief last year. And remember I said, grief is the way we get through the transitions of life. Grief is a good thing. The Bible says God grieves. It's a godly emotion. In fact, if you don't grieve, you get stuck. Some of you have had a major loss in your life in the past, and you just shoved it down. You stuffed it instead of grieving. And when you stuff it, you get stuck at that stage emotionally. And you've never gone any further because you didn't go through the grief. You got stuck. And you maybe need to go back and grieve some things in your life you've never grieved over, so you get unstuck because you got unstuffed. Stop pushing the pain down. Just grieve it. Let it out. It's not going to kill you. Grief will not kill you. You let it out. It's good for you. It's how you go through the transitions of life. And then you get unstuck and you can move on and you can grow up emotionally. Grief's a good thing. On the other hand, fear is a bad thing. Not once in the Bible does it say, grieve not, sorrow not, weep not, cry not. What it does say is, fear not. And it says that 365 times, which means there's one for every day of the year. Because grief doesn't paralyze, fear does. Fear does. Psalm 23, verse 4. Here's what David says. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I don't fear anything. Why? For you are with me, your rod and your staff comfort me. Now remember, he's using this shepherd metaphor, a shepherd with his sheep. Shepherds always carried a rod and a staff. These are the two tools that you use to protect the sheep, to ward off wolves and to protect the sheep. He says, I'm not going to stress out about this because God is my protector. God is helping me. And I'm going to trust God in the dark valleys. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow. Some of you are going through the valley of the shadow right now. Maybe the valley of the shadow of death. It may be the valley of the shadow of debt. It may be the valley of the shadow of conflict. It may be the valley of shadow of depression. It may be the valley of the shadow of discouragement, but you're going through the valley of the shadow. Now, shadows are scary. Remember how you used to get afraid of shadows when you're laying in bed as a little kid. Some of the things, though, I've learned about shadows are this. Shadows can't hurt you. They can't hurt you. A truck can run over, that hurts you. But if a truck shadow runs over you, it doesn't hurt you. Shadow can't hurt you. Shadows are always bigger than the source. Isn't that true? It's your fear of that greater than the actual event. Shadows are always bigger than the source because it makes them look bigger than they really are. But here's the good news. Wherever there's a shadow, there's a light. You can't have a shadow without a light. And so the key of when you're going through the valley of the shadow and to not be afraid is to turn your back on the shadow and look at the light. Because as long as I keep my eyes on the light, the shadow can't scare me. And Jesus is the light of the world. That's how you go through the valley of the shadow of death. That's how you lower the stress. I trust God in the dark valleys. Maybe you're going through that right now. You need to pray like David, Psalm 142, verse 3. When I'm ready to give up, he knows what I should do. When I'm ready to give up, he knows what I should do. I want you to write this down in your outline. I don't have to know the answers when I know God. I don't have to know all the answers about what I'm going through if I know God, because he knows what I should do. And I'm going to turn my back on the shadow, and I'm going to look at the light, and I'm going to walk through the valley of the shadow. I'm going to trust God in the dark valleys. That'll reduce the stress of loss.
Such great words of wisdom from Pastor Rick today, and I hope you were blessed like I was. And now here's Rick to tell you about a resource that he created to help you in your walk with Jesus.
Imagine the difference the world would be if lives were really transformed by the grace of God. Now, it's always been my goal here at Daily Hope, not just to show you what God says to do and how to do it, but to supply you with practical tools for doing it on a daily basis. So I've created a special transformed Bible study kit. Now, in this kit, there are a number of resources that I want you to have. First, 7 lessons on DVD that help you go deeper and explore what the Bible has to say about each of these 7 key areas of your life. And then there's a 225-page leather-bound workbook filled with tools for personal evaluation, goal setting, daily devotions, verses to memorize, a place to take notes and journal, information about additional resources. This study kit can be used not just in your personal life, but as a small group study guide with your friends. I want to send the Transformation Bible Study Kit to you as my gift to tell you how much I love you and to say thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope.
Now, in this 7-session video and workbook study, Rick's going to guide you through all the key areas of life: spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, relational, financial, and vocational, equipping you with practical steps to experience real, lasting change, with weekly lessons, daily devotions, and exercises that will help you dive deeper into God's Word. This study is perfect for personal growth or sharing with your small group. Request the Transform Study Kit today when you give a gift to Daily Hope and join us in bringing the hope of Jesus to people around the world. Your transformation starts here. Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com, or you can just text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, that's the word HOPE to 70309. And thank you so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people everywhere. We hope you'll join us next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.